Virayankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
page 78. Sukadeva Goswami continued, learned scholars who are free from mistakes, illusions, and propensities to cheat have thus described the planetary systems and their particular symptoms, measurements, and locations. With great deliberation, they have established the truth that the distance between Sumeru and the mountain known as Loka Loka is 1/4 of the diameter of the universe, or in other words, 125 million yojanas, 1 billion miles. 38. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada provides the Sanskrit commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which explains the various calculations regarding the sun, the outer limits of the universal shell, the position of the local mountain range, etc. The Thakur also explains there's a gap of space between the edge of Bhumandala and the universal shell, which allows it to move independently balanced on the hood of Ananta Sesh and steadied by the four gigantic elephants, mentioned in the next verse. This gap of space also allows Lord Varaha to get beneath the earth to rescue her from the Garbhodak ocean. Sukadeva Goswami continued, on the top of Loka Loka Mountain are the four Gajapatis, the best of elephants, which were established in the four directions by Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of the entire universe. The names of those elephants are Rishabha, Pushkarachuda, Vamana, and Aparajita. They are responsible for maintaining the planetary systems of the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all transcendental opulences and the master of the spiritual sky. He is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, the supersoul of everyone. The demigods, led by Indra, the king of heaven, are entrusted with seeing to the affairs of the material world, to benefit all living beings in all the varied planets, and to increase the power of those elephants and the demigods. The Lord manifests himself on top of that mountain in a spiritual body, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, surrounded by his personal expansions and assistance, like Vishvaksena. He exhibits all his perfect opulences, such as religion and knowledge, and his mystic powers such as anima, lagima, and mahima. He is beautifully situated, and he is decorated by the different weapons in his four hands. The various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Narayana and Vishnu, are beautifully decorated with different weapons. The Lord exhibits those forms to maintain all the varied planets created by his personal potency, Yoga Maya. 39-41. In his commentary to verse 41, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, one may ask, why does the Lord remain there? He remains for the welfare of the people. That statement is explained in this verse. The Lord remains thus, on Loka Loka until the end of the Kalpa. Akalpam Gata can also mean accepting this decoration or appearance. He remains in order to protect the various affairs of the world, produced by his own Atma, Yoga Maya. The Lord does not protect what he has produced from his energy. Who else can? Right? So that's the reason he's called the creator, because he's maintaining it. Right? That's the main thing. Right? If you create something and then don't do, generally that's not the one who knows about it. The one who creates it and maintains it. Does that make sense? So that's then what's the principle. It's just like I think it was the printing press. It was actually it's known, I think, for Gutenberg or something. Is known Gutenberg is known for having invented the press, but he didn't. He's the actual one that actually put it into use. Mm-hmm. and printed books and did something with it. So everybody knows him. But the guy who invented it, I don't even know if anybody knows his name. It's probably there somewhere, but you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is the one who uses it, maintains it, also becomes more prominent. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, what's it? The two babies raised by the wolves, Romulus and Rex or something. Yeah, it means most people don't know them. But someone like Caesar, who maintained the empire, he's known more, you know? Does that make sense? I think Nero also gets a, you know, for having destroyed the empire. Like that. You know, he gets an honorable mention. You understand? So him and, what is it? Augustus, I think, was the next after Caesar. Yeah. They're the ones that are known because they actually maintained it at its height. Like that. And then after them, no one could maintain it, so then it fell apart. And so, yes?
The elephants.
Yes.
They maintain the balance, but they sit on top of the Lokaloka, which is higher than the Lokaloka.
You can say anything, our astronomer is not here.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure they sit on, that's the thing you didn't bring in the purport there. On top, yeah, there are four Gajapatis. I guess that's where they hang out, but then their job is underneath. Maybe. Well, he said it was when Ananta Seish, you know, is in ecstasy.
They balance it, that's what he said.
Okay, they balance it. Okay, so if they're not balancing, I don't know, when it goes short, maybe they jump up and down. Okay. Yeah, we'll wait for the technician to explain. Because the thing in all these, because we see the main point is that it's being maintained by the Lord. That's the whole actual point. He's created, he's maintaining it. But he's doing it in some interesting way, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, no, they are. But the main point is that he's doing it. That's the point to gain from the whole thing. That's the real. You know, and then the mechanics are always interesting because Krishna's created it. It has to be interesting. Okay. Yes.
Out of the
video
showing yesterday that another person was going to execute his shapes, but the elephant's feet were balanced. That, you know, that's what creates the earthquake.
Okay. Okay, so that means that a few days ago, then Ananta Seish was in ecstasy.
He knew the theft was coming up.
Okay, yeah. So. They are, that's what the elephants are for. That's why the elephants are there. Yeah. Yeah, well, even better is that on top of the Lokaloka mountain on the point, then there's a ball, and then the elephant's on top of the ball. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, in his commentary to verse 31, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Oh no, we already said that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, outside Lokaloka Mountain is the tract of land known as Aloka Varsha, which extends for the same breadth as the area within the mountain. In other words, 125 million yojanas, 1 billion miles. Beyond Aloka Varsha is the destination of those who aspire for liberation from the material world. It is beyond the jurisdiction of the material modes of nature, and therefore it is completely pure. Lord Krishna took Arjuna through this space to bring back the sons of the Brahmana. The sun is situated vertically in the middle of the universe, in the area between Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka, which is called Antariksha, outer space. The distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe is 25 koti yojanas, 2 billion miles." Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I got an understanding that Antariksha was the green Bhumandala and Svarga.
It's basically, I mean, that's where the living entities are, but I think beyond that's just space. Because it appears that all the planets, all the stars, all that are within below Dhruva Loka. Because above Satya Mahar Tapa, these ones, they're not, I think they're beyond, you know.
Stars?
Yeah, because the stars are all the different demigods and those kind of post holders and things like that. So they'll be up there. So then from Dhruva you have the Shushumara where the Ganga is coming down. And then you have all the stars and planetary systems, and they're all moving. So the sun is, you know, at some point up there. And then beyond. So when we're talking about Antariksha, we're talking about inside where they live. But then there's that space outside, just like outside Loka Loka, there's a billion miles of nothingness. So it appears that above also then there's just space. So it'll have a dual meaning. So Antariksha meaning just space, or Antariksha meaning the planetary, you know, that planetary systems, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Rakshasas. Yes.
What is same as Koti?
Koti is technically, no. I think 100. Oh, Koti and Crore, I think, yeah, maybe the same.
Like that.
Yeah, I think they're the same. I think Crore is what the Bengalis use, and Koti is the Sanskrit.
Koti is 10 million.
10 million.
Yeah, Crore is also
10 million. 10 million, yeah. Yeah. Like that. In his commentary to verse 43, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the breadth of the universe has been mentioned. Now the height is mentioned. The sun is in the middle of the universal shell. What does that mean? It is between Bhuvarloka and Bhurloka. The distance between the sun and the universal shell upwards is 250 million yojanas. The distance from the sun to the bottom of the universal shell is the same. The evidence will be given later. So that means that's 2 billion. So it's quite low. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the sun god is also known as Vairaja, the total material body for all living entities. Because he entered this dull egg of the universe at the time of creation, he is also called Martanda. He is also known as Hiranyagarbha because he received his material body from Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma. 44. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the name of the sun is used to explain the reason for it being situated in the middle of the universe. The sun entered into the unconscious universe. Therefore, the sun is called Martanda, he who entered the dead universe. Who is the sun? The sun is the totality of jivas with subtle covering, Hiranyagarbha, because he is the very existence, sambhava, of the gross body of the universe called the Hiranyananda, the golden egg. Okay. There's more. Srila Prabhupada adds, the post of Lord Brahma is meant for very highly elevated, spiritually advanced living beings. When such living beings are unavailable, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands himself as Lord Brahma. This takes place very rarely. Consequently, there are two kinds of Brahmas. Sometimes Brahma is an ordinary living entity, and at other times, Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma spoken of here is an ordinary living being, right? So he's known as Hiranyagarbha because he has been given his gross body from, Hiranyagarbha, Brahma, who has also gotten his body from Hiranyagarbha, the Supreme Lord, who is an expansion of Hiranyagarbha, who is Mahavishnu, right? So that's why then there's a principle that's there in the name. And so then at which point we're viewing, that's what we have to know, because that's what gets confusing sometimes. Like we're saying there, the Antariksha, it has that too. Antariksha, if we're talking about Burbu Vaswa, then we're talking about the places where the living entities are. But the Bhuvar also includes the space that's beyond where people are living. So
like getting family members.
So, yes, family name. Yeah.
third.
Yes, yes.
The third.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could add on to it, you know, how you say, like the Spanish, the Latin names, you know, so he's, how you say, what was it? What was all the things? Hiranyagarbha. He's known as Viraja, so he's called as Surya Narayan Viraja Martanda Hiranyagarbha. You know,
he's supposed to be Scandinavian Hiranyagarbha son.
Hiranyagarbha son. Okay. Yes.
How can you understand that some of the totality of Jiva is something that's covering?
Because that's what it means. In other words, all the jivas are coming in through that, right? Because they're coming in from the glands. But the point is the sun is the, you could say, the reflection or that of the Brahman. That's why it has that potency to illuminate, because the Brahman is all that effulgence. So that light has to come in. So then that will be all part of Krishna's glands. So time, the jivas, the false ego. Then that all comes in, so it appears that they come together. Because it mentions in the lotus that it's very bright, because all the jivas are there. So it's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing out. And so then from there, then they go into everything. So, yeah. Jiva Goswami continued, O King, the sun god and the sun planet divide all the directions of the universe. It is only because of the presence of the sun that we can understand what the sky, the higher planets, this world, and the lower planets are. It is also only because of the sun that we can understand which places are for material enjoyment, which are for liberation, which are hellish and subterranean. All living entities, including demigods, human beings, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, creepers, and trees, depend upon the heat and light given by the sun god. From the sun planet. Furthermore, it is because of the sun's presence that all living entities can see, and therefore he is called Dig-Ishvara, the personality of Godhead presiding over sight. 45-46. In his purport divorce, verse 46, Srila Prabhupada comments. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Surya Atma, Atma Tveno Pashya, the actual life and soul of all living entities within this universe is the sun. He is therefore upasya, worshipable. We worship the sun god by chanting the Gayatri mantra, Om Bhurbhuvasva Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Surya is the life and soul of the universe, and there are innumerable universes for which a sun god is the life and soul, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire creation. We have information that Vairaja, Hiranyagarbha, entered the great dull material globe called the sun. This indicates that the theory held by so-called scientists that no one lives there is wrong. Bhagavad Gita also says that Krishna first instructed Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan ahamavyayam. Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Therefore the sun is not vacant. It is inhabited by living entities, and the predominating deity is Vairaja, or Vibhisvan. The difference between the sun and earth is that the sun is a fiery planet, but everyone there has a suitable body and can live there without difficulty. Right? Just like fish have a suitable body to live in water, we have a suitable body to live on the earth. Right? So they have a suitable body to live in the sun. So it's not so much of a problem. Yeah. So he's known as Vairaja also because he's the life and soul of all the entire creation. So also then Hiranyagarbha is also known as Vairaja. It means he's known as Hiranyagarbha because then he's the life for the living entities. It means because they can't function without heat and light. The same time as Hiranyagarbha, Vairaja is also where Brahma is born from the lotus, from the aspect of universal form, because it has all the masculine and feminine principles within it. So he's born from that, because he also says in Manu that he's born from Vairaja. Like that. So then that would be from the lotus, which is coming from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, which also includes the living entities and has that effulgence. So you see there's a connection with these at all the different points. Yes?
So how can we connect this description with the stem of the water? So is it happening inside?
Yes, inside the stem. Like that.
All this is inside.
All this is inside. So the stem is actually, in that way, quite big.
Yeah.
You know. So you have all these going on at once. They have their certain, you know, one form, they have another form. Like Krishna is in everything, but everything's in him. So that's the whole thing, is that we want it to work logically for our intelligence by time and space, but Krishna being beyond time and space, therefore, it doesn't apply. Right? I mean, he makes it so it's logical and can be functioned because the sages can see it. But at the same time, as even what they see, there's more beyond that. You know, that he knows, Ananta knows, you know, he knows himself. But this is how much is useful for us. So basically we know is depending upon your mentality, you're situated within the universe, and it's by the illumination of the sun that you're able to distinguish what's nice and what's not nice. And so that means the sun also represents knowledge, right? Represents father, so therefore guru. And so that means it's by the grace of guru and the knowledge coming from the Lord, that way we can actually understand things as they are. So that's the main thing. And then these other things are structural, that the Lord's having some fun. Right? That's not the main thing. Understanding that, you won't understand who you are. It's understanding this part, that's who we understand who we are, and we get out of here. You know, and then if you're really worried about it, then when they take you out of the universe, then you can have a tour like that. But if you're too interested, then one may get off. So that's why one is only interested in connection with that Krishna's creation is so nice because it's him, like that. But not that it's nice on its own.
Like that. I do hope to see you on the planet Earth.
Yes. Yes.
Then we are not interested.
Yeah, then we're not interested. Then they're done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's in the TLDP. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that also. How long is this going to take? You know, like that.
I learned an interesting point in the astrology. The sun represents the masculine principle and the moon the feminine principle, because the feminine just reflects the light from the sun back.
Right.
And so that's how the dynamic of male female also functions.
Yeah, yeah. But it also mentions that in the previous yesterday, mm-hmm. that Prabhupada was talking about the Kusha Dweep.
Yeah.
That the kusa grass there, so it must be big kusa grass. It also illuminates the place, so it has fire. But the fire is mild and pleasant. So he says that this is the same kind of fire that's in the moon. That it also has. But it's not that it doesn't reflect, but at the same time it has its own. Yeah. So that's the thing. Because the point is what illuminates the house? Because because if we take that purely, then when is the house bright? And when is the house not bright? Yes. So that means she has her own light. So it's a matter of when she wants to reflect that light. So that's it's there. We can say that's the general principle, but then it's more as masculine because it's father, and the moon is mother because of the nourishing aspect. So the sun, it gives the life, the heat, the sustenance, but the nourishment of things comes from the moon. Like the vegetables, they're growing because of the sun, but they have juice and taste because of the moon. Like that. You understand? So what we see is like cultures that are so much on the father side, then you have big, strong, but no taste. You know, it's just like you have the, what do you call it? You know, like you go back in time, the German ideal, you know, or the Russian ideal, these big, huge, muscular guys, you know, powerful, you know, undefeatable, but there's no juice, they're very dry. Right? Because there's no moon.
Right. Is that architecture also, like communist architecture.
Oh,
very
yeah. No.
Strong,
ooh,
concrete,
yeah.
Absolutely no flavor or.
Very big.
Stern, yeah.
Very big. I mean, bigger than anything I've seen anywhere else.
It's insane.
Like Moscow's, this one building I saw, it takes up the whole block.
huge, massive things.
Stalin had problems with his mom.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because he built it, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's in that time.
Oh, yeah, because there's one of them in Poland. It was built by him. Huge thing, right in the middle of the city. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so like that. I think Hitler also had a problem with his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there we go. Okay. And then start wars.
Yeah, yeah.
And why?
Yeah, now we know why. I guess what they call it. Well, what was his name? Pol Pot. He was worried about intellectuals.
Yeah.
So he got rid of anybody who was in. So if you wore glasses, they'd take you out in the forest and shoot you. So then you could do on this one, just anybody who has problems with their mom, then, you know, collect them up, you know. Yes. Yes. Sun, moon, and stars. Yes, but they're doing certain. But it doesn't. They don't have to be there to illuminate. They're just there to make things nice. Because Goloka is effulgent on its own, so it doesn't need the sun, the moon, or electricity to light it. Right? It's self effulgent. So they're just there because it's nice. Right? You know, the sun's out, sun goes behind the star, you know, the clouds. You know, so in the summer, sun goes behind the clouds, it's nice. In the winter, the sun is out, that's nice. You know, and then the night, the moonlight, you know, like that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yes?
There's an idea that in Golok, that the moon is always full, it's never.
No. That's just... Maharas, then it'll be full. So you take advantage on the full moon nights, then there will be, there will be a rasa dance because it's very nice for that. But the gopis dress according to the phase of the moon when they go out at night.
So actually, it's raining.
Yeah, so on dark moon night, they go out in black. Mm-hmm. And on full moon night, they go out in white. Because mm-hmm. that way, when they're going through the forest, they'll blend in, no one can see them. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it is, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't have an aspect that he's always full or, you know, these. It doesn't matter. It's not that he has to do like that. But the point is that they do change the clothes for that, so you get the idea that that's on a regular basis. Otherwise, where does the variety come? It's always full moon night. It's always the best, and then it gets boring. So then you got to go to some, you know, run down, out of the way cockroach hotel down in, you know, Panama or something, just for variety. You know, you know, and then after that, you can go back to your the Ritz or something. You know, but
picturing that in camouflage and war paint.
Yeah. You know, with those hats on. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Akadasi, why are they in red? That's in the day. We're talking about night. The day, it's probably, I don't know. Different days of the week, you can, according to Pancharatra, dress the deities in different colors. Like that. So some temples do like that. They go by that as a basic color scheme. Like that. We haven't so much. Some devotees get into it, but I'm not sure. Prabhupada mentioned red on the codices, so that seems to be something that's done. Oh, it could be. So it's just a nice day to wear red. Yes.
I think red is the color of devotion, but someone also wears red. So maybe on the codices, it's the mother of devotion.
He wears red because they ask why, what was the sindur that Sita Devi was wearing. So she said she wears that because it protects Lord Ram. So then he thought, okay, cool. If that little bit protects Ram, how much will, you know, so he covers his whole body. That's why you see him worshipped in temples. He's covered in sindur. Like so, you know, the advantages of being from, what do you call it?
Vanara.
Yeah, Vanara. So they can do these things, you know. Others don't do stuff like that. What was that? What's their varsha?
Kimpurusha
Loka. Yeah, so they can do all these things. So they're forest people, and they're not so sophisticated. So they do these things, then you have that variety. It's interesting. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Okay. There, okay. The difference between the sun and the earth is that the sun is a fire planet, but everyone there has a suitable body and can live there without difficulty. On the next page is a scale diagram depicting the outer regions of Bhumandala. Okay, the outer regions of Bhumandala. Continuing the scale from the illustration of the seven islands of Bhumandala, starting from the innermost dark gray circle, is Pushkaradweep, which is encircled by an ocean of sweet water of the same breadth. That's the light gray. Okay, so the white in the middle will be all the other six islands, which is then, you can see, what was that before? On 77. So basically, yeah, and we're that little dinky dot in the middle of 77. Yeah, now I see what you said. You need an ion microscope to see us. Okay. The next dark gray ring is Loka Mountains, or Loka Varsha, which is inhabited by many living entities. Surrounding that area is the land made of gold, light gray, which is abandoned because of its intense brightness. The thin white circle represents the Loka mountain range, which exists higher than Dhruvaloka, to block out the luminaries from the rest of the universe. Finally, the outermost dark gray ring represents Aloka Varsha, which is uninhabited. So by volume, Aloka Varsha is the biggest. Mm-hmm. So that's what Prabhupada says, there's no problem with overpopulation. Plenty of space. Yeah.
And there's an ocean of sweet rice somewhere.
Plenty
to eat.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet rice. Yeah, he wants to know about that one. Yeah, now if you can get the bucket of halava and an ocean of sweet rice, then you're doing okay.
That's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Mountains of sweet rice, oceans of, mountains of halava, oceans of sweet rice.
It's almost
I know what's happening. Because this thing is, if anybody heard about that, everybody would be going there. So that's why they make Tapaloka look so boring, right? Like that, you know, where all the brahmacharis hang out. So they just keep it, you know, mum's the word.
Yes. Right?
Actually, they're having a great time there. So when they come together to discuss philosophy, they kind of, you know, on purpose leave out that they're all sitting around with their own bucket of halava and another bucket of sweet rice, and then they sit around and talk. And yeah. Okay, so you can see it's very big there. So the like that. So this is all that is also solid. It's all part of Bhumandala. So Bhumandala is that big. But the part that we actually deal with, the main seven islands, is that up to that little inner little gray circle. Like that. So it's not. Yeah. It definitely puts things in perspective of who we are.
It shouldn't be too puffed up.
Yeah, it can't be very puffed up. No, but beyond the alokas, there's a little gap. Then there's the first covering of the universe. Then you have the earth, right? The covering of earth, which is 10 times bigger than this whole thing across. So then that means that goes out to like here, right? And then earth, then what, water? That'll be twice that. You know, it goes up pretty fast. So that's the problem in making a scale model of all these things. Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. You like that? Chapter 21. The movements of the sun, Pratigya. What was that? Just. Right.
Yeah, so here it says, the learned scholars who are, Pratigya, learned scholars who are free from mistakes, illusions, and propensities to cheat have thus described the planetary systems and their particular symptoms, measurements, and locations.
So that's the main thing to get there, is that the universe is set up how the Lord likes it for the elevation of the living entities, and so everyone, according to their particular consciousness, has a place within the universe. Right? And the Lord maintains the universe. So that's the point to be gained. Yes.
So much we see on every loka there's a specific mentality and worship of the Lord.
Yes.
But here we have a mixture of every symbol.
Yes.
So this is why we're here.
Yes, this is the place where you can choose anywhere in the universe to go. That's why everything's available here. But in other places, then it's just that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know?
It also makes it difficult because people are not certain about, you know, what they really want.
Yes.
They just hang in here.
Yeah, so they hear, they move to different things, and depending upon what they do, they follow the Vedas, then they'll be elevated. They don't follow the Vedas, they'll be degraded. Like that, or they follow the Vedas in a theistic way, then they'll go up into the heavenly regions. They follow the Vedas without being God conscious, they'll go to the lower heavenly regions, like that. You know, so it's like everything's available here. But in Kali Yuga, you don't see so much of the Vedic being practiced. So it's just, you know, the universe needs animals, right? You know? Where are all the mosquitoes going to come from, right? You know. So,
okay.
You know. So that's why he's pointing out the real thing is being God conscious. The point is that you follow the Vedas. That's the whole point, is you must follow the Vedas. But in the Vedas, then the whole point of the Vedas is to be Krishna conscious. And then you perform activities, you express that Krishna consciousness through the performance of your duties. So when he says you must follow the Vedas, means you must perform your duties to please the Lord as a person. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. Just like, let's say, we were discussing the other day, is that we are cooking something we like, we offer it to Krishna. Okay? Why did we offer it to Krishna?
We respect him as authority.
Yeah, we respect him as an authority. Okay? But he's a person, but he's the authority. Okay? So that's Paramatma. But is the offering actually about him? As a person. No, it's about him being the authority. Right? So it's on that level. So it's connected to him, so it's elevating and it's perfect. Right? But more perfect than that is I'm offering everything to Krishna. What would Krishna like me to offer him? When that gets into like what Mother Jashoda cooks for him, or Advaitacharya, or you know, Satyamata, or and so on. Satyabhama in Navadvip. Sorry? No. That's we're talking about. No, I mean there may be some other expansions. This is the one that would always get angry.
Jagannanda.
Yes, Jagannanda. You know, so we get angry, and then Lord Chaitanya would say, you know, food cooked by someone who's angry tastes better, you know, because they're more angry. They put more in masala. They, you know, they fry it a little more. Like this. So you know, it's done with affection because you're angry at a person. So thinking of them, so Lord Chaitanya just laughed. That made them even more angry, right? Because you're supposed to be upset by them being angry, but instead Lord Chaitanya is laughing to them. Yeah. How do we get into that? That has some reason we got into that.
Personal and final.
Yes, so personal. So this is the point, because otherwise we say, no, but we do what we do here, and then they must do that there. But then the point is maximum you can get out of that is Vaikuntha. But in Vaikuntha, they follow all the rules. So, it's not going to happen. Okay. Yes.
So actually, this kind of cooking or service is not even according to Pancharatra?
No, you're offering everything and all that. It's your realization. It's according to Pancharatra, because you're cooking, you're following the standards of cleanliness, you're cooking according to, you know, what Krishna, you know, the basics of what, basically, we're cooking, we're avoiding things that Krishna does not eat. You know, he understands, so we're leaving out the garlic, the onions, the mushrooms, you know, these kind of things. He doesn't eat those. Like that, we're leaving those out. But that's because it's a rule. You understand? So that's where we're acknowledging his position as the supreme. Do you understand?
So that's within Pancharatra.
It's within Pancharatra. It just means our realization is there. But we're talking as if this is some very high philosophy. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're transcendental. We're beyond. But it's just playing at best with the Paramatma level. Because the point is are we beyond the rules? Are we beyond Brahman, how it functions? No. So that's the thing, is that this is just talk. It sounds good. And because previously is talk like this was not tolerated, but nowadays it's, you know, it's the vogue. You know, it sounds good, it's sweet, it sounds nice on the ear. Yeah, it's you know, pleasant and reassuring. Right, you know, that we're still in control. We're still the enjoyer.
So to say like Krishna loves me for who I am. He's not so concerned about these externals. That's actually Paramatma level, because we're putting ourselves.
Yeah.
First.
The point is yeah, because we're putting. He loves me for who I am. But who is who, that? Who you are?
Yeah, exactly.
Who is that? Who
that's
I am?
Body.
That's the problem, because we think I am the body.
Yeah.
We'll say I'm not the body. I don't have to follow the rules. But he loves me for who I am.
The body.
You understand? That's the problem. See, when you have Krishna consciousness, all contradictions are reconciled. But when you have ignorance, these contradictions aren't reconciled.
But it looks like
it. It looks like it, but you have to be an illusion to think that they are.
That's what the illusion actually is.
Yeah, the illusion is they're reconciled when they're not. They're just contradictory. Same sentence, it's contradictory.
Completely. It's oxymoron.
Yes, but it's just, it sounds good because the wordage is good. The logic presenting it is good. So instead of thinking how to make this sound good, they should be thinking how to understand Krishna consciousness. Like that. That's the principle. Okay. Yes. Yes, but the point is Krishna is also sitting in the heart, so he's not that far away. No? We're not talking about that. What we're talking about here is distinguishing between these different levels of realization, you know, and discerning what is pure devotion and what's not. Right? So that's what we're trying to catch, is that before this has been more generic, you know, following the Vedic things, you know, following the duties of the Grihastha Ashram, and doesn't matter what position you're in, and these kind of things, so that we see the importance is this connection to Krishna. But now we're getting more fine in what is connected, what's not. So here, then, we're pointing out what is connected, that we've offered to Krishna. We've cooked according to his rules. But we haven't cooked according to him as a person. We've only cooked according to him as God and his rules. And we've cooked actually according to us as a person. You understand? That's why we're trying to show the distinction philosophically, while this idea is it doesn't matter and this and that. Yeah, it technically doesn't matter as long as it's connected to Krishna. But then there is the point of Sarva Dharma and Padityajah, because we say, no, Krishna accepts me for who I am, that means that's my religion. But Krishna says, give up your religion, just surrender to him. So that's okay on the neophyte level. Because we mentioned the Madhyama, he may have desires, but it's based within these desires. This is where he's comfortable serving the Lord. It's not about the secondary himself. When that becomes too prominent, it bumps it down to the neophyte. So they're just very, very subtle points there. Right? So you please Krishna, you approach Krishna anyway through serving Guru and the Vaishnavas. Like that. So then making that consideration. But it's the same thing. What do you cook? Right? We're willing to cook what they like, but we're not willing to cook what Krishna likes. You understand? That's the fun part. So, but the point is, since we're willing to do it there, since they represent the Supreme Lord, then we are doing that for Krishna. So the principle is in place. So therefore, it's good. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So we say Bhagavad Gita takes us through the neophyte state and leads us at Nityananda.
One sense you can say, but the point is Sarva Dharma Parityaja is actually the Uttam platform.
Yeah.
So you can say is that the first six chapters, they take you through the neophyte, bring you to the Madhyam platform. The middle six describe devotional service and your tools to work with and how it connects to the Lord. Then the last six, then that's the analytical, that's basically used more in the Jnana Yoga, so that would be more for the Madhyamas. But then even that has to be given up, then there's the Uttama platform. So you have the conclusion of all that in the 18th chapter, and then this verse. So that's the point, is it gives everything.
Mm.
Like that. Yeah. It's just more focused on Sambandha.
Yeah.
Like that. Srimad Bhagavatam would be more focused on Abhideya, and Chaitanya Charitamrita on Prayojana. So it's the same knowledge. It's not that there's a different knowledge. This whole idea is always something new, something different. No, it's a different angle of understanding or realization or like that. Okay, 21. The movements of the sun, pratigya. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. The pratigya of this chapter is taken from text 3, spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami, explaining the Supreme Lord's potency within the sun, as well as his control of its motions in order to create the necessary seasons for all living beings within the three worlds. Yeah, the funny part just on here, just how the sun, because you can see how small we are and where the sun is and his position compared to everything else. And it'll create, you know, we have sun over here, but you go a bit to the northwest and they never see the sun. Right. You know, yes.
It says there necessary seasons. So
necessary seasons, yes. It's just like, let's say, how you say, you go just above, what do you call it? Just above, you know, Serbia and all that, but below, you know, Czech and Slovakia. Then that area there, because it's more a little more south, then in the summer it's very hot, right? So it gets the necessary heat that is required. But at the same time, due to its particular location, how the mountains are, it actually gets in the winter the cold coming in from Siberia, which is like, you know, I don't know what, 1,000 miles away. And so it's actually colder there than the place just above it, like that. So that's the necessary seasons for that particular group of people. Because when you're at the program and the devotees are doing the kirtan and giving the class in one country, they're all there paying attention, jumping up and down and singing and dancing. And in the previous country that we talked about, they're all sitting about there, you know, hanging out with their girlfriends and trying to make it with them. Right? So it's according to the particular nature of the people. You didn't catch all that?
No.
You caught all that? Yes. Because he's the neighbor. You know, yeah, those guys. You know what I'm saying? So each place, the weather matches the people. Right? Otherwise, why are they there? Sorry? Yeah, I mean that's why Arizona is such a, how you say, you know, dynamically growing place, you know, because people from, you know, Seattle and those, they move down there, right? And all in the north, they all move down there. Yeah, it just means this. Because can everybody move? Everybody's happy there. It rains 10 months a year. You know. Are they happy? No. But can they move? No. But some people do. So it's just a karma. And then, then when they do get acclimatized to there, then where do they go for vacation? From Arizona, they'll go up north or someplace where there's snow. And, yeah, that's the funny part, right? If you're from a cold place, you go to where it's sun, and if you're from a sunny place, you go to where it's cold. So, therefore, the necessary season. So people want that variety. So if they're pious, they get all six seasons nicely. And if, as the piety decreases, then it goes down to four seasons, and then in some places just down to two seasons.
Yeah.
You know, and then I always, the running joke kind of like in England is, yes, summer happened on Wednesday. You know, like that. So you have summer, and then you have rain. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these six seasons, they give that flavor. Because you have two are wet, two are hot, and two are cold. But then those give the moving into one, where it has cold with warm. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So you get those, and then warm with wet with cold. You know, like that. You know, does that make sense? Cold with warm.
-15 Siberia is rather a calm than a variety.
No, I mean, because in the summertime it's not 50 below, you know, it's what, 10 above. You know? So they have the variety, right? Anybody lives on Antarctica? No, except penguins, because nothing changes there. Is that what I mean? Yeah. So then, even up north, you know, go up in the Arctic Circle there on the north. Then at some point, then the sun comes out, and they have these funny little, I don't know what kind of berry it is, but it's some kind of particular berry that all the people from up there go nuts, and they go out there and spend all day picking those berries, you know, and that, you know, of course that's with all the millions of flies and the reindeer and the whole thing like that. Does that make sense?
One guy that lives up there.
Yeah, yeah. No, but even when I went up to visit, he was not there. He was on vacation. Actually, he was not there. No, no one's there. The place is shut down, you know. I'm not sure where they went, but, you know, they weren't there. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, probably.
We have the citizen only in India.
Well, it's called Puni Bhumi. Because the six is the natural form. So every 2 months it changes exactly. You know? So then it works. So then, you know, that makes it nice. It means before it would, you know, it would be more pleasant, the seasons. So now they get more extreme. So as people are less pious, the seasons get more extreme. Until you just get hot and cold, you know, like they have. Or until it gets to where there's no more hot, really. It's just not cold and then freezing cold. You know, so it's just... Yeah. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashikin, in the 21st chapter, the sun's movement through the zodiac signs... Its rising, setting, and speed are described. The sun is not stationary. It is moving like the other planets. The sun's movements determine the duration of night and day. When the sun travels north of the equator, it moves slowly during the day and very quickly at night, thus increasing the duration of the daytime and decreasing the duration of the night. Similarly, when the sun travels south of the equator, the exact opposite is true. The duration of the day increases. No, it decreases, and the duration of the night increases. When the sun enters Kartaka Rashi, Cancer, and then travels to Simha Rashi, Leo, and so on through Dhanu Rashi, Sagittarius, its course is called Dakshinayana.
the southern way, and when the sun enters Makara Rashi, Capricorn, and thereafter travels through Kumbha Rashi, Aquarius, and so on through Mithuna Rashi, Gemini, its course is called Uttarayana, the northern way. When the sun is in Mesha Rashi, Aries, and Tula Rashi, Libra, the duration of day and night are equal. So you have two aspects that are there, because it came up yesterday, and the, you know, astrologer was, you have the Uttarayana and Dakshinayana according to the day and night of the demigods. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when is the auspicious time to do rituals and when it's not? Right? But by this description, it's when the days are longer and when the days are shorter. Right? So that will go from the equinoxes. You understand? So that will be from March to September. Right? But the time for auspicious things, that will be January until June. You understand? So you have that two ways of dealing with it. The days being longer or shorter, or whether it's auspicious or not. Right? So these two overlap. They're two happening at once. So it can be, both of these can be described. So it depends upon which one you're talking about. If we're talking about Muhurta, we're using the one. If we're talking about the length of the days, we use the other. So. On Manasotara Mountain are the abodes of four demigods. East of Sumeru Mountain is Devadani, where King Indra lives. Manasotara, that was the one on Plaksha, right? Pushkar. Oh, that's the one in the middle. Okay, so they're not on Loka Loka. They're on Manasotara. Okay. Okay, so it's the elephants on Loka Loka.
Yeah.
Okay, and the demigods are on... Sorry? Elephants take up a lot of space. Because everyone's worried balancing on that little ball, you know, which way they'll roll, you know. Like. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And south of Sumeru is Samyamani, the abode of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Similarly, west of Sumeru is Nimlochana, the abode of Varuna, the demigod who controls the water. And north of Sumeru is Vibhavari, where the demigod of the moon lives. Okay, so the moon is over there.
So there is no...
No Kuvera there. It's the moon. So it must be Kuvera has some connection with the moon. That's interesting. Sunrise, noon, sunset, and midnight occur in all these places because of the movements of the sun. Diametrically opposite the place where the sunrise takes place and the sun is seen by human eyes, the sun will be setting and passing away from human vision. Similarly, the people residing diametrically opposite the point where it is midday will be experiencing midnight. The sun rises and sets with all the other planets, headed by the moon and other luminaries. Right, so all these other places, he's moving around in one day, so they get their effect on Bhumandala, right? And so, but that takes them, no, he moves around. But here we have this thing where our place, this part that we're on, then is designed in such a way that we get that same experience, you know, without Meru getting in the way, but just by how it's situated. Does that make sense? So this... more curve, whatever it is that is done that makes it unique amongst the nine varshas in Bharat Varsha, then gives us these kind of experience. Does that make sense? So we'll take it that it's the planet doing that and the moon and this and that, when it's actually not like that. It's just the way it's set up. Like that. It means mathematically you could calculate it, that that's what it's doing. But that doesn't mean that it's not going on in the same scale on the whole Bhumandala in the same way. Does that make sense? So it makes it look like we're the center of the universe, you know, because of our false ego. Not that we're center of the universe because, Jambudvipa is in the middle. Yeah.
he said.
Any direction you look, there's the world, so I must be in the middle of it.
Yes, yes. Like that. I mean, of all of them, you could say the Chinese had it down the most, right? Because they called their place the Middle Kingdom. Like that. And so then everything else is surrounding that. So even within, you know, the earth, which is flat and it's in the center of the universe, then right in the middle of that's China, right? And I'm sure in the middle of that was the exact middle was the Yellow Emperor.
I saw a map of the United States where they have put the United, I mean, the map of the world from the United States, they put the United States in the middle and it's just cut off like Asia in the middle. So
No, that's the standard. Yeah. It's right in the middle. And then it's just Asia's cut in half. Yeah, so you just see it's just North and South America. But you notice also how they do it because South America is big there and it gets smaller as it goes down. You know, and depending on how you do it, then Canada doesn't look so big.
No, so,
you know, so it's basically America's in the middle. So that's the American map. But then the European map is they put, you know, America's over on the side and Europe and Asia is one full thing. Yeah. Really?
Oh,
they'd move it down like this, and then Russia's this big thing like that, and then you have, you know, this band of stuff on the bottom. Yeah, then there's over there is America. And yeah. Okay.
Very small.
Very small, yeah. But what I always thought was funny is, you know, it's like, you know, there's Russia and then way over there on the other side is America, and America, then way over there is Russia, and, you know, their whole dynamic. But if you look at the map from the top, then they're right next to each other. They could throw rocks at each other.
Yeah.
Right? You know? So this whole thing is so far away. No, they're just, you know.
but it's
just... Because otherwise, I think people freak out if they realize how close they were.
There's a famous New Yorker cartoon where they put, like, downtown Manhattan, you know, between, like, 1st and 16th was, like, this big, and then 16th to 57th was this big, and then the rest of the world is kind of on the perimeter. Like, there's more going on in those two states.
Yeah. So that's the, what do you call it? Wall Street style.
Yeah.
Okay, they'll find it. Okay. Yeah, it's just, you know, like that. Then, Tokyo.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's funny. Okay. The entire Kala Chakra, Wheel of Time, is established on the wheel of the Sun God's chariot. This wheel is known as Samvatsara. The seven horses pulling the chariot of the Sun are known as Gayatri, Brihati, Ushnik, Jagati, Tristup, Anushtup, and Pankti. Right? Because these are all the main chandas. Then I think within them you'll have the breakdowns of them. You know, just like in Anustup, the eight syllables, then there's so many of those, depending upon which ones are long and short and this and that. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Chanda means what?
Sorry?
Chanda
means meter. Like, you know, how many syllables? Gayatri is 24 in three parts. Anustup is 32 in four parts of eight. Like that. They are harnessed by a demigod known as Arunadev to a yoke 900,000 yojanas wide. Thus, the chariot carries Aditya Deva, the sun god. Always staying in front of the sun god and offering their prayers are 60,000 sages known as Valikyas. Like, these are their size of the thumb, right? So, and they're just going backwards in front of them like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're also students of the sun. Yeah. Now the sun god changes every time, but they're always there. So they're, you know, so they're sages. So they don't need the variety. Right? Yeah. There are 14 Gandharvas, Apsaras, and other demigods who are divided into seven parties and who perform ritualistic activities every month to worship the Supersoul through the sun god according to different names. Thus, the sun god travels through the universe for a distance of 95,100,000 yojanas, or 760,800,000 miles at a speed of 16,004 miles at every moment. not second. That's a moment. Yeah. So that means 11 times that per second. No, they're means they sit on the axle like that. They just are in front of him, you know, facing him backwards on their own, just going by their own power. So you're talking about some pretty serious people here. In any case, compared to who they're hanging out with, they're the size of a thumb. So if they came here, they'd be, you know, that big, you know. But if they're up there, then they might be way bigger. In any case, you know, have to be careful. I mean, in other words, they have to be able to fly on their own. Otherwise, they're so small, people would step on them. Right? So. No? Yeah. It works. Agastya is also the size of a thumb. You know, and then he, you know, as a service to the demigods, drank the whole ocean. And the whole salt ocean, drank the whole thing. So that doesn't mean what we see. That means the whole one. Right? So, of course, you're going to bring in Agastya, right? Why would you bring in someone else? Okay. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses, 1 to 19, the movements of the sun. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, I have thus far described the diameter of the universe, 50 crores of yojanas, or 4 billion miles, and its general characteristics." Wow. So 50 crores is 4 billion. When they do projects in India, it's like 1,000 crores or... That's serious money. There's serious money in India. So somehow you don't see it hit the ground.
Out of all like the top 10 billionaires in the world, only one's American, I think four.
Yeah, that's fun. And of course, the Vedic stuff's not practical, right? Nobody's going to make money like that, right? Okay. Okay. I have thus far described the diameter of the universe, 50 crores of yojanas, or 4 billion miles, and its general characteristics, according to the estimates of learned scholars. As a grain of wheat is divided into parts, and one can estimate the size of the upper part knowing that of the lower, so expert geographers instruct one can understand the measurements of the upper part of the universe by knowing those of the lower part. Right, just like instead of, what do you say, it's a grain of wheat. Right, so the grain of wheat has its upper and lower part, so there must be a proportion. So if you see the grain is smaller, then you know the wheat's smaller. If its grain is bigger, it's, does that make sense? You know, whole wheat. You know, in the bottom there's that little kind of nib. I'm not sure it's got a name, but they do things sometimes just with that. They separate that and do things with that. Right? Okay. No, that's the outside. That's got some other bran. I think the bran is the outer covering, the hard outer covering. It's got some other name. And then the chaff is the husk that is in when it grows, and then like that. And that means the cows eat chaff as roughage. We eat bran as roughage. Okay. The sky between the earthly sphere and the heavenly sphere is called antariksha, or outer space, right? But it's also the space beyond. So in here, then, you know, where people live, then this is the important. It adjoins the top of the sphere of earth and the bottom that of heaven. In his comment 1 to 2, in his commentary to verse 2, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Nishpava is a type of being. Adhinam indicates less specific seeds. Just by seeing the dimension of one of the halves of a seed, one can understand the dimension of the other half. Oh, okay, and here he's talking about halves. So he's meaning about there's a groove in the wheat. So you can see one side, then you know what the other side is.
One should consider the dimension of the earthly sphere. Footnote 26. The word Goloka is used. This means a globe. Here, it should mean a semisphere, since the comparison is made to a half sea. And the heavenly sphere to be the same. Between them is the Antariksha, measuring 200,000 yojanas. It is joined to them on both sides.
So you have the earth, and then you have the heavenly planets, and then what's in between, and that's 200,000. Right? So basically the top of Mevu. What was before is that they're situated on top, but how close to the top, right on the top, or some like that, you know, that's another.
Sukadev Goswami continued, in the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha, is the most opulent sun, the king of all the planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. Right? So here it's mentioning that they emanate heat, the moon. So how would the moon do unless it's fire? Right? So.
By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives life to help all living entities see. While passing towards the north, so you have heat and light. So from heat, then you maintain light by light, then you can see.
It also gives light. While passing towards the north, towards the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately. According to its movements in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Right, so we have where he's situated. So he's situated in between the heavenly region and Bhumandala. And that, and there he moves a bit up and down. Right, and then he also then moves in and out. You know, these kind of things. Or that in and out is what creates it. Then when he's on the upper half, on the northern side, depending on, and the southern side, depending upon it, it's winter or summer, then he'll move quicker on one half and slower on the other, or the other way, or sometimes equally. So when it says that he moves at this particular speed, what was it, the 16,004 miles every moment, that would be basically an average speed. So when he's equally moving, he'll move like that. When the other times he'll move on that, he'll move faster on one, so therefore slower on the other. So it'll work out. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The sun is situated in the middle of the Antariksha. During Uttarayana, Uda Gayana, by slow speed, while ascending in the sky and passing time, the sun moves through six zodiac signs starting from Capricorn, making the days gradually longer and the nights shorter. During the Dakshinayana, moving with quick speed and descending, the sun moves through six zodiac signs starting from Cancer, making the days shorter and the nights longer. By moving at medium speed during the equinox periods, with days and nights equal, the sun moves through Aries and Libra.
So that way he makes it all work.
Srila Prabhupada adds, Lord Brahma prays in his Brahma Samhita 5.52, Yach chakshur esha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurtir desesa teja yas yagyaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govinda madhi purusham tamahangajami.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency and heat and light.
Although the sun is described as Bhagavan, the most powerful, and although it is actually the most powerful planet within the universe, it nevertheless has to carry out the order of Govinda, Krishna. The sun god cannot deviate even an inch from the orbit designated to him. Therefore, in every sphere of life, the supreme order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is carried out. The entire material nature carries out his orders. However, we foolishly see the activities of material nature without understanding the supreme order and supreme person beyond them. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, Bhagavad Gita 9.10, material nature carries out the orders of the Lord, and thus everything is maintained in an orderly way. So that's the point. The movements of the sun will be exactly according to Krishna's direction, how he says. Right? That's the point to catch, is that he establishes it like that, and no one deviates from that at all. So therefore the universe functions in that way. But we see here on this planet, then we may not appreciate that, may not understand that. So then we'll deviate from the plan, meaning that we don't follow the way we should function. But our deviation is still according to the laws of the modes of nature. So we will follow already established paths of, you know, sinful endeavor that are already there, and then their resultant reactions. So we can't actually even function independently of the Lord without the Lord. So therefore, since we have to follow the Lord anyway, we're never independent, why not just follow what is recommended? Because the results that we want are the results that come from following. And the results that we think we're going to get from not following never actually happen. Yes. Right? Yeah. Therefore, at the end, Lear ends up with everybody dead. If he had just followed Bhagavad Gita,
yes,
it would have been a whole different... That would be an interesting drama. If Lear had made decisions based on Bhagavad Gita, then we see how it works out. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the sun passes through Mesha, Aries, and Tula, Libra... Okay, those are the moon. The durations of day and night are equal. When it passes through the five signs headed by Vrishabha, Taurus, the duration of days increase until Cancer, and then it gradually decreases by half an hour each month until day and night become again equal in Libra. Right? So half an hour this goes. What you see is that, like in the winter, it'll go... by 5 o'clock it's dark, but in the summer it'll be 7 o'clock. Like that. So then, you know, you just go. That half an hour go and then come back. When the sun passes through the five signs beginning with Vrichika, Scorpio, the duration of the days decreases until Capricorn, and then gradually it increases month after month until day and night become equal in Aries. Until the sun travels to the north, the days grow longer. Until the sun travels to the south, the days grow longer. And until it travels to the north, the days grow... The nights grow longer. Okay. Everything's just growing longer. What's going on? Okay. My dear King, as stated before, the learned say that the sun travels all over all sides of the Manasotara mountain, in a circle whose length is 95,100,000 yojanas, or 760,800,000 miles. A Manasotara mountain, due east of Mount Sumeru, is a place called Devadhani, possessed by King Indra. Similarly, in the south is a place known as Samyamani, possessed by Yamaraj. In the west is a place known as Nimlochani, possessed by Varuna. And in the north is a place called Vaibhavari, possessed by the moon god. Sunrise, midday, sunset, and midnight occur in all those places according to specific times, thus engaging all living entities in their various occupational duties and making them cease such duties. Right? So it means you start your duties, sun comes up. When the sun goes down, you stop those duties, right? Your occupation. So, right? Then you go back to the ashram activities. Right? So the sun, it regulates that. Right? So then when he's starting in one place, if it's sunrise in, what do you call it? Sunrise on Indra's side, it'll be sunset on Yama's side. You know? And then, when he gets to, what do you call it?
No, excuse me. No, Varuna's side. When he's in Yama's side, it'll be midday, and then on the moon side, it'll be midnight. Right? So like that, depending upon where he is, then that defines these four sections. Right? So that's the sandhyas, but the midnight one we don't count as a sandhya, right? Because you don't do it, that's when you're supposed to sleep. Right? So the three sandhyas then will be sunrise, midday, and sunset. Right? Okay. In his commentary to verse 7, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the circular path is 95,100,000 yojanas. The distance from Meru to Manasotra in both directions, diameter of Manasotra, is 31,500,000 yojanas, footnote 27. The distance from Meru to the middle of Manasotra is calculated to be 15,750,000 yojanas in the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 5.20.35. 15, so 31. So basically it means that is the distance from Meru to the middle of Manasotra. So that means he's talking about the whole thing. Right? So from one side of Manasotra to the other, then it will be the 31 million. So that means it's 15 million from Meru itself to Manasotra. Right? The path of the sun's chariot is 200,000 yojanas wide. Thus, the total is 31,700 yojanas. Multiplied by 3, one gets 90, multiplied by 3, 28. This is an approximate of pi equals 3.1416. What happened to 5? Oh, they're using 6, so they're rounding up. Okay. Circumference is pi times diameter. No, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Experts teach about the city of Indra, east of Meru, on the circumference of Manasotra, a mountain, measuring 95,100,000 yojanas in circumference. They teach about the sunrise, moon, and sunset in these cities. Being in the four directions from Meru, this means the following. Those who reside in the south of Meru perceive sunrise and consequently other directions, starting from the east, or eastern city of Indra. Those residing in the west perceive sunrise and the eastern direction starting from the south. Those in the north perceive sunrise starting from the west. And those residing in the east of Meru perceive sunrise starting from the north. It is stated in the Vishnu Purana that Sarve Sham Dvi Pavarshanam Meru Utarata Stita. All the inhabitants have Meru in the north, relatively speaking. Right, because to them it's always in the north, and so then the sun is always coming from this way, because they're on Manasotra facing Meru, so to them then the path of the sun's always coming from the east. So that makes sense. So then when if you're in the east, then that's basically would be when the sun gets there, that's midday for you. So when it's in the north, that's where it will rise for you, and when it's in the south, it'll set for you, right? And then the opposite, that will be your midnight. Okay? So that's how they'll perceive it, right? If we were looking, what we discussed before is if you just look at the middle of, you know, from where the sun is, you know, from Meru, then you just have that way is going to be, if the sun's on that side, on the opposite side, it'll be whatever the opposite, sunrise, sunset, if it's noon, it'll be midnight. But the residents living there, they'll perceive it by, you know, what's to their left, that will be the sunrise, and what's to their right will be the sunset. Right? Because the sun will come up and go across. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, the sun is not rising.
It's just going around. Yeah, it's just how the planet's made and the curve and all this makes it has that kind of thing. That's why they're thinking it's like this and the Earth is spinning at, what is it, 25,000 miles an hour or something. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to do that, which is quite ridiculous, you'd think that everything would fly off. You know, I mean, how much gravity is there to hold it? You know, so they do all their calculations, so they're happy with it. You know, in other words, you know, don't rock the boat, right? You know, so it works to keep them quiet because they want to know what's the origin of everything? But if you tell them it's the Supreme Lord, that they don't want to hear. They just want to hear mathematical numbers. Yeah, we have serious numbers like that. You know, these numbers will really blow their mind. Yes, and again, they're connected to the Supreme Lord. And we just found out the other day is that if we want to get back to origins, remember Lucy has always been from somewhere in Central Africa? I just found out that Lucy's actually from Australia. The new Lucy.
Yeah, everybody loves Lucy.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow everybody loves Lucy. Yeah. Yeah. So that means the original Lucy wore a hat with corks on it? Or? Yeah. Okay. Sukadev Goswami, 29. This statement will make some people infer that Meru is the North Pole. Relatively speaking. No, it's just that it's just where is their direction, because where the sun will come from. Because he's traveling in this way, so that way's the way, because the sun comes from the east. Mm-hmm. Right? But the point is you take it there. Because the mountain is there, so it's facing that way, but actually for calculation, you'll face the sun. So the sun will come rising this way. Right? So in that way, then he'll come up this way and go down that way. Right? So he'll come up in the east, go down in the north. So that's why it says relatively speaking. Does that make sense? So if I'm here, then I'm going to notice the sun rising when he's over here. Right? And then I'm going to think he sets when he's over there. So it's always going to be off that 180 degrees. The distance we'll say is that, you know, he's moving higher and lower. That's the cause. No, he's actually moving faster and slower. So when we say the days are slower, is the sun's actually moving faster. And when the nights are longer, then he's moving, you know, I mean, nights are shorter, he's moving faster on that side. But it's all made so you can get all these nice things to calculate and do all that and keep yourself busy. Because now look at the advantage. Do we see nuclear scientists on the street?
No.
That's the point. It keeps them off the streets. So that way they don't make... In other words, if they were on the streets, they'd make more trouble. So they just sit in their little offices and rooms. They make minimal trouble. And even that's too much. But at least then it's reduced.
They publish papers nobody reads.
Yes, and nobody reads the papers either. Right? Therefore, we have Clyde's notes. Right? So we don't have to read the papers. Yes?
The sun, there is only two perspectives, the sun perspective and the Jiva perspective looking to the sun.
I mean, there's ours here, yes, but I mean, it'll be according to their place how they see it.
Yes.
That's the whole point, is how, their place how they see it, what's their Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, what will be their seasons.
Yeah, but it's the same principle everywhere.
It's the same principle everywhere.
So the sun, there is no, is always a king.
But he's doing his, what he does. Yeah, he just keeps going.
But he said it.
Yeah, yeah. So 2 months on, no, 1 month on, 11 months off. Right? You know, so if you didn't sleep for 1 month, then you'd want 11 months to recuperate. You know, so. You know, plus they all have their own duties. The Varuna has his duties in the ocean, but he, 1 month he does the sun, as the sun god. Like that. So like that, the 12 Adityas, and they all spend 1 month there. Does that make sense? So depending upon... You know, different sun worshippers worship the different devata of the sun. Mm-hmm. Like the Zoroastrians, they worship Varuna as the sun god. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So, yeah. Okay. So, okay, we got to there. Let's stop here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Nitai Gaura.